love the Lord and praise Him. Praise the Lord. 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 You can be seated anytime you feel like it.
Bless you for standing. You may be seated. I'm glad I found the joy no tongue can tell.
Yes.
Joy unspeakable. That's why I believe the Bible tells it is the Spirit which gives the utterance.
Yep.
Amen. We are continuing in our study this morning, Foundation of a Christian Life. And subject for this morning is one that many that would call themselves Christians, I would dare say, do not truly understand, or if they do, they don't really grasp the entirety of the concept and the sense of what we're talking about this morning is a call to holiness. A call to holiness. I'll draw your attention to couple passages for our focus verses this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 12, 13 and 14. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Then 1 Peter chapter number 1, verses 14, 15, and 16 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Focus thought for this morning is simply this: God is holy, and his holiness is reflected in his nature, his works, and his people. Say that again: God is holy, and therefore his holiness is reflected in his nature, his works, and his people. We are to be the very reflection of the holiness of God. We are to endeavor to strive. That's why we're talking about a call to holiness. Not only did this power and the presence of God save me, but it also works to sanctify me. It also works to set me apart and make me separate, to make me be different, do different, act different, talk different, walk different. All the things that I am and endeavor to be according to the Word of God, it is a call to holiness, to show myself a pattern after His holiness. Dieting Israel, the prophet Hosea said this. Hosea 7:8, he says, Ephraim is a cake not turned. When cakes were baked on an open Bible or open fire in Bible times, they had to be turned to bake on both sides and to be cooked all the way through. A cake not turned is a cake on one side and dough on the other. He was indicting those of Ephraim. He was saying, listen, you're not all the way done. You're a cake not turned. You're like this on one side, then you're like this on the other. We would call that two-faced. I've often made this statement. There is a song by a Christian artist group years ago when I was growing up. It was popular when I was a young person, called DC Talk. And in the middle of one of their songs, they have this statement. It says, the single greatest cause of atheism in the world is people who acknowledge Jesus with their mouth, but then don't with their lifestyle. Call themselves a Christian. Say that I am a servant of God, that I follow after God, yet I'm not baked all the way through. I'm a cake not turned. Being born again, we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. As babes in Christ, we learn a new manner of living, striving daily to reflect the character of our Lord. The Spirit that dwells within our hearts motivates us to pursue purity and holiness in our attitudes, our actions, and appearance. In our attitudes, our actions, and our appearance. It is a call to holiness. A call to make and display in our lives what God has done for us in our attempts to be and endeavor to be more like Him. A call to holiness. I've often thought about this. You know, the Bible tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We understand. Jesus said, you must be born again. And when we understand the concept of being born again, Nicodemus struggled with it. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus had to explain what he was talking about. There is a spiritual birth. Unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He was saying, listen, you've got to be born again. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. So when someone is born again, we understand, according to the Word of God, that individual who is in Christ is now a new creature. Old things are passed away. The old man has been buried. Now all things are becoming new. In other words, now they're learning how to live. Just as they had to learn to live in the natural when they were born, now they're having to learn how to live in the spiritual once they're born. And for those babes in Christ, for those who are
growing up, if you will, those who are endeavoring to mature, we need to understand that 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. There is a calling unto holiness. Might I say this, that holiness, in much of the sense of the word, is maturity in God. To become sanctified, to endeavor to pattern my life more and more after the wishes of my Lord and Savior, to grow in God, to become more mature. It is a call to holiness, to sanctification, to separation. We need to understand, first and foremost, that God's nature is holy. If we are to please God, we need to understand the nature of God. Holiness is the essential aspect of His nature. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Reverberates throughout scriptures, letting us know. And it wasn't something new. It's not a new concept, obviously. If you go all the way back to Leviticus, when God calls them out, the land of Egypt, begins to set them apart and make them a nation and puts upon that nation His name. He says this in Leviticus 20:17, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. In other words, as it was for them in the Old Testament, so it is for us now, today. God has not changed. It is His desire that we sanctify. It is His desire that through the work of the Holy Ghost in our lives, we become more and more separate from this world and its ways and its desires and its pursuits and its aspirations. And as I grow in my relationship with God, so too does my maturity and my being more like Him. It is a call to holiness. The call to holiness is intimately intertwined with the nature of God. I want to be more like Him. And so I need His help to show me those areas in my life that need to be sanctified. Those areas in which I endeavor to live that maybe I pursued my own will and my own way. And I need to come before Him and say, God, help me. Help me to follow Your will and Your way. Exodus 15:11, who is like unto Thee, O Lord? Among the gods, who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. That He is holy is the bedrock, truth of Christian faith, and a foundation of all moral behavior. Think about that. The Bible says, James tells us, in Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is the absolute epitome of what is holy and what is perfect and what is righteous. Even think about our, and even as the world in our day and age would seek to just kind of strike God out of what we do, fail to recognize many times that many of the laws which we have find their foundation in the moral law of the Scripture. Let me tell you this, you cannot abandon God without abandoning those moral laws and concepts that are the essence of His nature. And we wonder why we are becoming a society so steeped in evil. There is a call to holiness, and we, the Church of the Living God, we have to do our part. We have to make sure that we are staying steadfast. We are endeavoring in our walk and relationship with Him. Not to just maintain a separation from the world, but to draw closer unto God. It is a call unto holiness. And if I fix my eyes on Him and I desire that my nature be as His nature is, holy and righteous, then it doesn't really matter what the world does and the way the world goes. I'm fixed upon Him. His Spirit is holy. His Word is holy. Bible tells us, 2 Peter 1:21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Those that wrote, that put pen to parchment and help us as we today look into the Scriptures, they were, the Bible says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Why is it that for some, and I hope it's not the case for us, that when somebody gets up and wants to preach or teach about holiness, there is that resistance. holiness is a beautiful thing. His word is holy. His spirit is holy. His very nature is holy. And so when it comes to you and I wanting to pattern our lives, if there's anything that we should endeavor to align our lives with, it is with holiness. He even inhabits his dwelling place is holy. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. Psalms 47:8, God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. We understand as they put together and they were the artisans and those that were in charge of making and creating, if you will, all the furniture that was according to the prescription of God and the way that He said it should be. And the tabernacle was sanctified and it was hallowed unto God. But it was His presence when it came down and dwelt between the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. It was there in the Holy of Holies where God made His presence known. Even in David's day, Zion, the dwelling place of the Ark of the Covenant, was called, Psalms 48, 1 and 2, the mountain of His holiness. Solomon's temple was completed. The glory of the Lord filled the house as He sanctified it to Himself. The Bible says it became a holy place. His spirit took residence there. God's dwelling is always in a holy place. The Bible also lets us know that Israel was a holy nation. God chose the people of Israel to be His people from all the nations of the earth. God chose them in Abraham and confirmed the promise to Jacob. However, it was not until they were called out of Egypt that they obtained a distinct identity as a nation. Before then, they were just people. Before then, they were just people who were ascribed to the great patriarchs of Isaac, Jacob, Abraham. Once they come out of the land of Egypt, it is then that God desires to put His name and make a distinction as a nation. It was on Mount Sinai that God confirmed them as His people. Their daily existence was to be a testimony of God's goodness, His holiness, and His supremacy overall. So He takes this bunch of, you excuse the term, ragtag men and women who had been slaves for 400 years, generation after generation after generation. They didn't know anything but slavery. Brings them out from the most powerful empire in the world at that time. And He sets them apart and makes them distinct. And He sets His name upon them. Why? Because they were to be an example to the heathen. They were to show His goodness. Look at Deuteronomy 7:6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be special people unto Himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Oh, I really wish that we would understand that same significance applies to us today. The calling of God to follow His will in His way. It's not a drudgery. It's not something that we should ever in any way, shape, or form hang our head about or feel condemned about. What we should understand is that we are a special people. We are a chosen generation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him. They lived their lives according to the law and the ordinances Moses delivered unto them. The Israelites demonstrated the blessings of serving God to the nations around about them. Habit that the spies went into Jericho before they entered into the promised land. They told the spies, they made them know, we've already heard about you. We know of your exploits. We know that you're a special people. And that wasn't special in a condemning way. That was a special in a, you guys are all talked about. we really want to be distinct, if we really want to be different, if we really want to be unique and peculiar, there is no greater way to do so than to follow after a God who is holy and perfect and righteous. The Bible lets us know that Israel was a peculiar treasure. Look at Exodus 19 and 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandments, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Let them know, though they still have many of them a slave mentality, so they let them know that I've called them out and I'm making them a special people. They're going to be unto me a peculiar treasure. There is great value in obeying the Lord. There's great value in following after His precepts and His principles. There's great value in seeking to align my life according to His holy word. It's amazing how that we, those that have ever performed a ceremony, a wedding ceremony, it's called holy matrimony. Many times some of the words that they say in their vows are concluded with according to God's holy ordinances. Yet I think and I fear that maybe that's just a word that is said without really understanding the meaning and the significance of it. For if it's truly going to be holy, well then it has to be according to His holy word. It has to be in accordance with His holy desire. It has to be in accordance with His holy nature. You and I, as we understand, we look at even the Hebrew word, which I won't try to pronounce, but it's translated, when it's there, holy, it's translated, or rather peculiar, but it literally means to shut up, or by extension, to bring together, or to make it closely guarded. Said it before, I'll say it again. There is no greater affiliation that I or anybody else could ever have. I realize this world and its system and what it seeks after, and there's names out there that there's many people who would like to have attributed. They'd like to say, well, I'm a part of that, or that's a part of who I am, and that's in my lineage, or that's in my bloodline. Maybe my last name's Gates or Rockefeller, or my last name's Jobs, or my last name's Trump, or whatever the situation may be. But we need to understand there is no greater affiliation that anyone could ever have than to be a part of the household of God. No status of wealth, there is no status of influence, if you will, that any of us could ever attain to, that would ever even come close. They all pale in comparison to being a part of what God decides to closely guard. God did not indicate that His children were to be odd or weird, but that the obedient individual would be closely guarded, specially set apart unto God. We are peculiar and we are special, and we should never think of it as a derogatory thing. We should never think of it as a negative thing. Who we are, what we do, and how we live should never be seen as a slight to us, but it should always be seen as something special. I have the opportunity. Is, as the Bible says, the beauty of holiness. Holiness is not, nor will it ever be, in the understanding of what it is, will never, ever be ugly in God's eyes. The world may turn up its nose at it. The world may look at you and I and say, I don't have any desire to do that and live like that and be like that. They may think it disdainful. They may look at it in disgust, but we need to understand that the Lord looks at our lifestyle and what we do and how we live and endeavoring to pattern our lives after Him, and it is to Him beautiful. It is to Him beautiful. glorious. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, 1 Chronicles 16:29 says. For true beauty is attained only through a life dedicated to the honor of God. True beauty is attained only through a life dedicated to the honor of God. That is true, and I believe that it is, then there is the other side of that coin. Holiness is beautiful, and unrighteousness is what's ugly. Think about it. Look at the case found in Mark chapter 5 of a man. We don't really know his name. When asked his name, it was the demons that possessed him that spoke and gave the answer. We are legion, for we are many. Dwelt among foulness and corruption of the tomb, often screaming and attempting to harm himself. They tried numerous times to bind him. He would break free and he would go about running and screaming and terrorizing the people. He was, in all sense of the word, ugly. I doubt very seriously anybody heard about his situation or knew of his situation and talked to their kids and said, "Hey, I want you to be like him." It was disdainful. They probably kept the children away. They probably made sure they didn't go near where he was. They probably made those that know, "Listen, don't deal with him. He's foul. Stay away from him. He's ugly." He's the epitome of unrighteousness, inhabited by demonic spirits. However, when he was freed from those spirits, the Bible says he was clothed and in his right mind. The power of righteousness, the power of holiness in Jesus Christ overcame the power of unrighteousness and the ugliness that was a part of his life. And now he sits clothed in his right mind. And in the final glimpse of his formerly troubled life, Mark records that he was proclaiming in Decapolis the great things Jesus had done for him. The distasteful demoniac became a marvelous messenger. Why? Because he came in contact with holiness. Came in contact and went from being ugly and disdainful and foul and despicable, becoming someone who was beautiful in the eyes of God, being a messenger of the great things that God had done for him. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Rhetorical question. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'm sorry, but this flies in the face of the argument that says God really doesn't care what we do on the outside, it's just the inside that counts. Man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. He most certainly does. But the outward appearance is a great indicator of what's going on inside. What? Know you not that your body is the temple? Understand the reference, the temple. If you go back and you read, and if those things we believe they are types and shadows of what is to come, if the building, the erecting of the temple, and the building of the furniture, and the construction of the tent, and everything that went into the temple and the tabernacle, if all those things were indicative and they were shadows of what you and I would be in New Testament fulfilling as being our bodies being the temple, then do we not recognize that God had prescription for what was on the inside, but He also had prescription as to what was on the outside? He also said you got to put curtains up in this area with a certain amount of rings, with a certain amount of posts, and it's got to be decorated with a certain type of skin, dyed a certain color. sorry, but that flies in the face of, well, it really doesn't matter what we do on the outside. It most certainly does matter what we do on the outside, because his nature has not changed. What he desires in holiness, what he desired back then, he desires now, and he desires that we glorify him in our body and in our spirit. It is internal and external. So a person whose spirit is subjected to Christ will demonstrate holy actions. Holiness is a matter of the heart, but it's not just a matter of the heart. Heart, the inward, I would say this, external holiness is a result of internal intimacy. Say that again. External holiness is a result of internal intimacy. As I draw closer my walk in relationship with God, as I desire to be more like Him and to be separated unto Him and to be closely guarded by Him, as I desire those things in my life, guess what? There is something that begins to happen in my actions. There's something that begins to happen in my attitude. And yes, there are things that happen in my appearance. It is a call to holiness. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Flesh and spirit. Body and spirit. Inside and outside. Call to holiness is for us to strive for holiness in flesh and spirit. And so we understand that what happens on the outside is an indicator of what's going on the inside. And so I endeavor, and we endeavor as people, to represent to this world what it means to be holy. So we would be remiss if we did not turn to a New Testament passage found in 1 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 10. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner. In other words, you understand, God has always been about distinction of sexes. So much so that the way the sexes represent holiness is different. I'm just reading the word for you. God has always been about distinction of sexes. And he says, this is Paul writing young Timothy, this is how men are to show. This is how men are to profess. This is how men are to show. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but that which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Men are called to holiness. It's first and foremost in what we do, in our actions. And whether or not we are humble enough to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting, to pray everywhere. Whether we are to be spiritual leaders in our home. That's our call to holiness. Certainly there is a level of decorum and modesty that we as men must maintain. I certainly get that, but we need to understand the expectation and the onus is on us as men that we are to be the spiritual leaders, that we are to manifest and profess godliness in our attitudes and in our humility and in our willingness to worship. Men should demonstrate godliness through their holiness, keeping themselves clean in the sense of attitude and actions. You and I as men, and I speak specifically to the men, we must be careful, because if we are going to be so iron-fisted with the women, concerning their appearance, we better be careful. We better make sure that we are aligning our lives with what it means for us as men to be holy. Vice versa, one does not negate the other. Holy women should avoid anything in their appearance that glorifies or exalts the values and beliefs of this unholy world in which we live. What are you saying, Pastor? Just this. You and I have the opportunity. You and I have the opportunity to reveal unto this world a holy God. I wonder this, and I'm coming to a close. You can stand. I've often quoted, heard quoted, preached from, taught from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Study, you see, there are some times that verses in the Bible, they somewhat have a double meaning. While I've heard one meaning or one perspective of this verse, I certainly believe that it applies. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I've always heard a priest, and I believe rightly so, that you won't make heaven your home, you won't see the Lord without living a holy life. You get that? It applies. I wonder if it also means this. Follow peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Could it also mean this? I'm not following with peace and holiness, and this world will not see the Lord. Without which no man shall see the Lord. No one will see Him. No one. You see, I have an opportunity to represent Him to the world. If I can align my life where I'm following peace with all men and holiness, it is a call to holiness. Why? Not just for me, but so that my brother or my sister or my coworker or my family or my friend or someone else could see the Lord in me, so that they can see and understand that I'm doing these things for a reason. It's not just a part of my religion. It's not just rules and requirements that I abide by, but it is a call to holiness that I want to reveal to the world, a relationship that they too can have with their Lord and Savior. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Yes, Jesus. I want to make sure I'm doing my part. As a man, I want to make sure that anytime, anywhere, for any reason, I'm not ashamed to lift my hands without wrath or doubting and pray. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, and I don't allow this world and its ways and its systems to keep me from following peace and holiness, for I want them to see the Lord. I want them to see the Lord in me. Not that I would get any glory, but all the glory would go to Him, for He is the one who is holy and righteous, and I simply seek to pattern my life after His wishes and His way. Lord Jesus, we love You. Oh, would we would understand the beautiful call to holiness. The separation that we have, God, the distinction that we have, Lord. It is not in any way to be condescending. Not in any way to look down our noses at others, God. But it is for us to lift our eyes unto You. and desire a deeper walk and relationship with you. It is a call to holiness, a call to separation, a call to be set apart, to be different, to be closely guarded by God, to be seen by Him as a peculiar treasure above all others.
Yes, Lord.
I'm doing all this, Pastor. I'm endeavoring to live my life. I'm being separate. I'm being distinct in my lifestyle. What is it all for? I tell you, it's not for me. Ultimately, it's for you and your relationship with God. It's a call to holiness, a call to separation, to be distinct, to separate. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I want them to see Him. I want to live. I want to be more like Him. Can we sing this together?
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness.
These altars are
open.
Classes will be returning in a few moments.
For me.
It's a call to holiness. It's calling, come on up.
Righteousness, righteousness.
It's the reason why His Spirit is called the Holy Ghost. It's the reason why. Would not make any sense to have His Holy Spirit within me, but not endeavor to be holy.
Righteousness, righteousness is what you want for me.
Would only make sense if this body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, would honor Him.
Take my life and hold it.
What I do, what I say, how I live.
Take my mind.
You just want us to be weird. You just want us to be different. Oh, yes, I do, but not for the reasons you made them.
Brokenness.